Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Everybody, Tim Kawakami here at TK Show, and
it's a co-episode with Here's the Catch, David Lombardi and Matt Barrows. So I guess we're going to talk some 49ers, Tim.
No, we're going heavy Warriors on this show. We're going Warriors. No, this is great. The Kyle Shanahan just wrapped up the offseason a little unexpectedly, at least to me. So let's just throw it around. Let's talk about it, you guys. I mean, you guys surprised at all that Shanahan cut it off after, what, the second and the third week of OTAs, and they get a couple injuries, serious injuries, and then just wipes out minicamp, which is scheduled for next week?
I was a little bit because Shanahan's whole mantra in years past has been, well, we got shortchanged on this minicamp. We didn't have enough reps this spring, especially for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's been one of his themes. Jimmy needs a full off season. He still hasn't gotten the full off season. As long as he's been in the league, there are certain guys, Baker Mayfield, who have more experience than him. And all of a sudden, he's cutting short this off season for Jimmy, but also saying, wow, it was his best OTA to date. And I don't doubt that at all. It makes sense that it is. Just given that he has the most knowledge of the offense. But you would think that a team that is going to rely on rookies like it does, a team that had a lot of young guys that didn't get a full offseason, you'd be scrapping for every practice that you can get. And that's usually how a coach feels. Obviously, the injury issues on Monday of this week kind of added a sobering element to that and probably made him reevaluate things a little bit more.
I think that's why they're keeping the rookies around too. They're not practicing anymore, but when you make that big of an investment in somebody like Trey Lance, the immediate knee-jerk reaction was to think, oh boy, they're gonna rush to cram as much in as they can, because they, you know, theoretically, when you spend that much on one player, you want them to be ready as soon as possible. So the rookies are still there. They're just not on the practice field, but they still want to get all that playbook stuff in. And I feel that you also saw it, Tim. I know you mentioned this in one of your pieces, the 49ers coaches working so intensively with Lance. You saw them give him a heavy workload, almost to the detriment of Josh Rosen and Nate Sudfeld. It was all Garoppolo and all Lance. And I think that made up for the fact that it was a shorter on-field session.
One thing Shanahan brought up in his Zoom call was that they haven't had mini camps in the past. Now, I blanked out on that just because I guess I've been Warriors focused usually in June at this point. Not so much this time or last year, but when last year was COVID. Is that historic that he hasn't had mini camps?
No, he's had them. He's cut them short, though. There's always the carrot and stick type of thing where he likes to announce to the team that, hey, we're cutting the last 2 days of the mini camp. But I don't remember. I mean, obviously last year there was no spring whatsoever, but I don't remember an entire mini camp being wiped out. They usually get one practice day in, and then they have what they call team building exercise, which may be the bowling trip.
Bowling, yeah.
Or something like that. So, no.
Is that what they did this year? Did they go bowling this year?
He said they would.
He said they would, but it sounded like a lot of guys were getting out of Dodge as soon as he said that OTAs were done and there would be no minicamp.
Another problem is the guys are getting hurt standing up from chairs.
And then you
post out bowling and everybody freaks out. Oh no, they should go play bocce instead. Hey, if guys are getting out of chairs, I think that even bocce is not safe. So it's a tough situation for the 49ers right now.
I shouldn't laugh just because it is a serious situation, and it's very hard to like get your finger on, you know, and I understand fans get upset. Like, what's going on? Do they need to change their training staff again? What are they doing? It is a sport where people get hurt, and I think what Shanahan was emphasizing is these guys got hurt in a way that you could not have predicted. You cannot say like they were running into each other at full speed. These are, I assume, non-contact injuries, at least most of them. You guys, I mean, Barrows, what can they do? I mean, are they taking it too lightly? Are they taking it just exactly right? Or is this going to You know, like, is this the sign that they're going to have another terrible injury season?
Well, you know, in explaining to us that injuries happen, Shanahan just underscored just how freaky the 49ers injury situation has been over the years. I mean, he was ticking off all the guys that got hurt last year before training camp when there weren't any practices. And it's just one weirdo thing after another. And, you know, fans, the media, I'm sure the 49ers are doing their own internal studies to kind of figure out a rhyme or reason to it. And it's really hard to. I mean, people are asking, oh, is there something wrong with the practice fields? I don't think so. I mean, those practice fields to me are really fantastic fields. I mean, they hold up all season. They look good. You know, some of the injuries have happened there. Jerick McKinnon's a couple of years ago did these last two. But some happen at Levi's Stadium. Some happen, as Shanahan was noting, away from Levi's Stadium in the offseason when they're working at home. Some happened at MetLife. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to the types of injuries, to the positions that are getting injured, to the surfaces that they're playing on. It's happening to all of them. So the one common element is that the 49ers are bringing in guys who get injured. And I think that they've concluded that that is an issue. And you could see in this year's draft class and in free agency that they've been targeting guys who do have good, solid injury history, or lack thereof. Now, of course, you know, it's never foolproof. You can get the guy that never missed a game in college, and in week one, he tears an Achilles. So that sort of thing has happened to this team. And, you know, sometimes it's the opposite. Jimmy Ward had a huge reputation for injuries. He was the poster boy for injured 49ers for a long stint there. He's been their Iron Man in the secondary the last year. So it's very, very hard to reach any you know, rock-solid conclusions on this.
Yeah, Jimmy Ward was four fractures in 4 years, and now he's played in 30 of the past 32 games. And, you know, the injury issue, they're the second most injured team in football by adjusted man games lost since that NFC title game at Seattle in 2014, right? January 2014. So this goes back before Shanahan all the way to really the Harbaugh era, because Harbaugh's last year is 2014. And I think that's what makes it so confounding is that they've already fired a training staff. They've already replaced the whole thing in the 2019 season. And were the results a little bit better that first year? Yes, but they still had a lot of injuries heading to the Super Bowl. They just you know, didn't come at the very worst spots. They didn't lose Jimmy Garoppolo. They didn't lose Nick Bosa. So they're still able to persevere with their depth to that Super Bowl. But, you know, beyond that, I think that what Matt said about the players, I think that that's where the one fixable kind of focus has been. And that's the most staggering number to me, because this definitely wasn't a focus for the 49ers before this season. The draftees, all eight of them, they had 169 possible games to play in college over the past 2 years. They played in 164 of them, which is about 95%. And their two biggest outside free agent signings, Alex Mack and Sansom Ebukam, are both known for their durability, 64 and 90 consecutive starts, respectively, between those two guys. So you could tell that it was a focus, and I think that's really the only stone that you could, you know, turn at this point and expect tangible results, because they've done everything else. They've literally replaced the whole training and medical staff already.
Yeah, and you know what? I might point out that might be one of the factors that had them not bidding up for Julio Jones. You know, not an injury-prone player throughout his career, but recently, absolutely, has played through a few things, missed and only played 9 games last season. Incredible player, 32 years old. And that's what I don't even know if I tweeted this. I thought this. I know fans would have not liked this, but I might do it anyway. When you complain about players getting injured, when you complain about a team that can't stay healthy, when you worry about getting, you know, important players hurt in the middle of the season, maybe you don't throw in an extra couple picks for Julio Jones. Am I crazy there? Do you think that was part of the factor, Dave?
Yeah, it definitely was. It was the whole time, this Julio Jones thing. We knew that they wanted him, right? You knew that Kyle Shanahan loves Julio Jones. You could see how he'd fit in the offense. It would take pressure off Kittle. It'd do great things. But at what cost? And the costs have risen considerably in the 3 years since Kyle Shanahan has said that you go and get Julio at all costs, right? And so now the prohibiting costs are his age, 32, obviously the draft capital, because then you can't, you know, go out and it's not just Julio Jones that could get hurt. Other guys could get hurt, and then you don't have the draft picks to replace them. So the cost was just a little bit too much. So they were interested, but I think that Kyle was ultimately really happy that he didn't go to another NFC West team. And I think the other NFC West teams feel the same. They're happy he didn't go to the 49ers.
Barros, were you pushing for Julio the whole time?
No, I wasn't. Although, I mean, I just don't know what that wide receiver room is going to look like. I mean, it's probably the best competition just because there's so many, I don't want to say anonymous faces, but little-known guys behind Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. I mean, it could be that Trent Sherfield, a guy that most 49ers fans don't know exists, is the number three receiver. I mean, we're talking him, we're talking Mohamed Sanu, we're talking Juwan Jennings, Travis Benjamin. Jalen Hurd, you know, would be the, you know, the front runner. And that's the 49ers pie in the sky scenario, that he comes out of training camp looking really good, and he's their number three guy. That would be a dream scenario, because then you'd have something. You'd have a pass-catching lineup that has Ayuk, Samuel, Hurd, and George Kittle. With, you know, Raheem Mostert in the backfield and Kyle Juszczyk lining up, you would have a lot of danger there for defenses to worry about. You know, the problem is that Hurd barely makes it out of the training camp, the preseason, each of the last 2 years, or didn't really. So you just can't rely on him. And I think it's going to be a little bit frustrating for fans, because they want to read about Hurd. They want to read about Nick Bosa and Dee Ford. And I could just see they're going to be eased in very, very gently into training camp. And people are going to be like, hey, how is Dee Ford looking out there? I'm like, well, you know, he did He did 5 minutes of one-on-one stuff against air in today's practice. There wasn't a lot to go on. I think that's going to be the case for a lot of these guys who are coming back from major injuries.
Here's a question I haven't really heard answered. Is it possible the third receiver? I mean, Deebo and you got hurt last season, could get hurt again. But is the third receiver that important? I know Bourne, you know, he's had five touchdown pass catches. So, I mean, he was valuable as a third receiver. I'm not saying he wasn't. But when you got Kittle, you're not taking off the field in passing downs. When you got Juszczyk, who you like to have on the field, I think, as much as possible. What, he's probably a 45% to 48% of the snaps guy. Is a third receiver that important, David?
I think it's important on third down. That's where Bourne made so much of his money.
Down, yeah,
a lot of first down catches, obviously, in the red zone. You know, it's important because the one and two guys have been getting hurt, too. That's Bourne for the 49ers didn't miss a single game due to injury. There was one game that he was on the COVID list and nobody's really sure if he tested positive or not. That went back and forth before, I believe, that Green Bay game. And then you saw how much the 49ers missed him. I know Richie James stepped up in that game, but the offense just didn't have any stability as far as receiving targets. You just had that steady guy who you could kind of count on. And I think that's why, you know, Mohamed Sanu's in the building right now. That's why they're excited about him, because if he could be healthy, he might not be the player that he was with Atlanta in 2016, but he is a guy that knows the playbook, is going to be in the right spots, is going to run the correct route, and will be that third down and that red zone outlet that takes the pressure off of, you know, Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and George Kittle, and, you know, just really keeps the line moving if there are injuries. And that's just something that you have to build into your plan if you're the 49ers.
I don't think Shanahan plans on having many third and longs. I think he wants to run the ball and, if anything, be third and one and power through it. You know, you need three receivers. I totally understand, and other guys get hurt. But I think he wants to run the ball this season a lot.
Well, yeah, and that's where a Jalen Hurd could really come in handy. I mean, he's a big guy. He's going to plow through whoever the nickel cornerback is opposite him. We saw him just briefly in that Cowboys game preseason in 2019, and he was bowling over Cowboys into the end zone, botting them. And that was just a passing game. Imagine what he'd be like in a running situation. And just to answer your importance of the third wide receiver, I mean, look who the quarterback is. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy that likes to throw those quick, short passes across the middle.
Yep.
We saw that with Trent Taylor in 2017 when Garoppolo first got here. David mentioned his rapport with Kendrick Bourne. That's the type of quarterback he is. And, you know, he comes from that Patriots system that was just deep with just fantastic slot type of receivers. And the 49ers really haven't dressed him up with those sorts of things. They haven't had that number three guy. They certainly haven't had that quick, slotty type of guy that can get you that that third and three play whenever you need it. And I think that's probably a complaint from Jimmy. He'd never enunciate it. He'd never articulate it. But there haven't been an abundance of wide receivers since he's been here. They really haven't, beyond Kittle, dressed him up with a lot of talent in the passing game, at least around him. They've had talent in the running game, for sure. But beyond Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, who were only together for just a couple of games last year, there's not a lot there. It's not a deep, experienced receiving group.
You say the Patriot system and they use those slot receivers. Well, gee, who's the team's receivers coach right now? I'm trying to think. Who would that be who might be able to figure out how to get a third slot receiver in there? Yeah, Wes Welker.
Yeah, exactly. When they brought him in, there were still high hopes for Trent Taylor. And I think that's been one of the disappointments that isn't as talked about over the past few years. Is Trent Taylor looks so good as a rookie when he paired up with Garoppolo in 2017, but then he was just never able to stay healthy. And I get it. We keep on pounding the injury drum here, but that has been a theme. And ever since that Taylor experiment, you know, the one criticism of guys who are smaller like that is, can they stay healthy in the NFL? And then Taylor start dealing back injuries and all this and all that. I think we also have seen a shift there. The 49ers have gone to more size at the slot. Yeah. Shanahan's gone to more of his Atlanta model of the big slot. Mohamed Sanu was the big slot in Atlanta. Jalen Hurd, Juwan Jennings, those are all guys that he's envisioning in that big slot role, which also helps this team be a better running team. That means they're a run first team because that third wide receiver big slot position is really counted on the block.
I think this slides just a little bit. I mean, you mentioned Garoppolo. I was looking, you know, if we could get anything from OTAs, and I thought minicamp, was how they're positioning Garoppolo and Trey Lance. Gee, yeah, Trey Lance, he's on the team. Heading into training camp, because once training camp starts, it gets fast, right? The season is like comes up in a snap. I thought, like, if there's a shot for Lance to kind of, you know, really challenge Garoppolo, we're going to see some of it, at least evidence of it, you know, traces of it. In the off season, which now is shortened, and we didn't see much of it. Barros, you think there was any repositioning, or you think they're going in solid? Garoppolo 1 and Lance maybe even a distant 2.
Yeah, it seems really distinct. Just the reps that we saw. It was Garoppolo and Lance, as David noted. We barely saw any other quarterback. And the funny thing was that they had five quarterbacks at one point. So it was really three of those guys were just standing around like reporters watching the whole thing. But it was Garoppolo and Lance got a lot of reps, and that was to get the offense under his belt so that he can spend these 40 days or whatever number it is sort of digesting it and come into training camp with as much as he can. But just what Shanahan said yesterday about Garoppolo, this being his best OTAs, how sharp he looked.
He looked good.
Yeah, he did. I mean, we saw two practices, not a lot, but boy, I mean, David, did we see an incompletion in the two that were open to? Yeah, so Garoppolo was as good as he possibly could have been. And this is, by the way, without any of the great receivers in that second OTA that we watched. So it seems like it's a pretty distinct gap between the two, and it'd be extremely surprising if the rookie made up ground. Remember, there's only three preseason games this year. There's just not quite as many opportunities, I don't think, for him to do so. The question would be, what happens during the season? Obviously, an injury would put Lance in the lineup. But if the 49ers go through, I mean, what would it take to get Lance in the lineup? Would it take two rotten games from Jimmy Garoppolo? Would it take a four-game losing streak? Do they have a losing record at the bye, which I think is what, week 6 this year? So I think that's going to be the next real question, because I think it's going to be pretty certain almost as certain as you can get that Jimmy Garoppolo is your week one guy.
Yeah, let's put it this way. If things proceed according to plan, this is Trey Lance's backup year. Just look at it from the zoomed out perspective. This is a guy who is playing FCS level football, and his last extended stretch of action was 2 years ago in 2019. I mean, we were talking about Trey Lance on our roundtable way back, I think it was in January, as a potential guy that the 49ers could target. And we were speaking of him as, you know, this is an intriguing, physically built prospect that could learn under Garoppolo, that would take time to develop. And I think that people got really excited with the trade up to number three and then the drafting of Trey Lance, and they figured, oh, because they invested so much in him, he must somehow suddenly be more ready than you know, we'd been talking about for months. But I think the reality of the situation is that you don't expect the FCS 2019 season, you know, all of 2020 off, jump to the NFL starting level like that. I think it's just not realistic. So I think the 49ers, it was a long-term play for Lance. They want long-term transcendence at the quarterback position. And I think Kyle Shanahan feels that he can get it by working Trey Lance into the mix gradually. And you know what, Tim? I think that we're going to see him in packages this year for sure. Yep. To get him used to that game speed.
And I would say Garoppolo's a huge part of this. He was a huge part of their decision, I think, to make the move for Lance. For a quarterback, and they chose to be Lance, and also because they had some questions about him because of his health, because he plays bad when he's not healthy. But by looking like he's looking, he's like, if he's good, then he's going to be the starter, at least to start the season, because they know they can win with him. They made this deal understanding they could win with him and that they weren't going to throw him away because he's their best shot at winning the Super Bowl. And he's looked good, you know, and we'll see. Maybe he'll stop looking good. I'm really circling those joint practices against the Chargers. They would not be having joint practices against the Rams. Joint practice against the Chargers before that exhibition game, because we see so much in those. Those really tell a lot. They tend to go full speed or close to full speed. And man, if Jimmy's playing well in that scrimmage and he plays well in preseason, I don't think there's a chance that Lance is starting in week one. And I think Garoppolo is a big reason. Like, if he was not healthy or just unsure of himself, and we could see it, obviously the coaches would see a lot more, then I think Lance would have a real shot at this. You know, it would be a challenge. It would be a competition. But if Jimmy's feeling confident, and partly it's like that was, like, I know, you know, we've talked to people who said, like, Jimmy's going to feel the competition here. He's going to, you know, like, let's go. You know, he's not going to shy away from it. And that's everything we've heard from him. I do think that he's lifted up his game a little bit, just looking at him. And again, he could get a nick or two, and we've seen him not play well when he gets a nick or two. But right now, he looks damn good. And hey, do you guys think that this is a Super Bowl level team with Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, he's proven it. This is odd year Jimmy. Remember, odd year Jimmy is on fire. That guy barely ever loses. You're right. He's absolutely motivated. Shanahan says he looks physically better than he has in a while, and I don't know whether he was talking about, you know, the way he looked last year when he was dealing with the high ankle sprains. But you know, Garoppolo obviously is doing something different, has done something different training wise. He's upset. I mean, he's not going to show it in interviews with us, but he has to be. He has to be pissed off that his name basically has been dragged through the pricker bushes these last two off seasons.
The what?
Pricker bushes. You guys don't say pricker bushes?
I don't even know what those are.
Is that an East Coast?
Sounds terrible.
Term?
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
Briar patch. Maybe that's what you call it out here. That's my southern roots, I guess.
Virginia, my goodness.
But my point is that his name has been ill-used, shall we say. And the 49ers have looked at every quarterback under the sun the last year and a half. So he's got a lot to prove. He's motivated. You see that in his demeanor and the way he's playing. You know, you're right. He just has to stay healthy. And something we've been talking about, the guys around him have to stay healthy.
Yeah.
The receiving group has to stay healthy.
How about the left tackle has to stay
healthy? Yeah, the left tackle. I mean, if you're going into a game with Trent Sherfield and Travis Benjamin as your starters at wide receiver, I don't know if Tom Brady or Drew Brees or any elite quarterback is really going to flourish. And so luck is going to play a big role in this as well.
Who'd they go into week one with last year at receiver? Dante Pettis, and who was the second one? Because they didn't have Debo or Ayuk in week one against
That's
the Cardinals. That was ugly.
I think Bourne might have started.
It was Bourne starting, yeah. Yeah, because Garoppolo missed Bourne late in that game.
And then Kittle got hurt at halftime.
Yeah. So that wasn't good. But, you know, with the 49ers and Super Bowl contention, I really do like the work and the investment they put into their offensive line this offseason, and I think that can have a domino effect on Garoppolo's health too, obviously. I mean, he got hurt last year initially when Laken Tomlinson got beat at left guard by Quinnen Williams. So obviously Tomlinson's still there. I actually don't think he's one of the problematic pieces of the line, but there were huge problems at center and right guard last season, and I thought those problems even extended to right tackle in certain pass protection situations with Mike McGlinchey. Obviously, there's a lot to like about McGlinchey, and I think there's going to be a lot more to like if he has solid and consistent right guard play next to him and solid and consistent center play. And, you know, you have to be excited that they got Alex Mack, and they invested a ton, more than Shanahan has ever invested in a guard, in Aaron Banks. And with Aaron Banks at right guard now, you have size, you have quickness. I'm not saying he's going to pan out, but if he does pan out, that really benefits the 49ers downstream because it allows Daniel Brunskill to move back into that utility offensive line role because you know there are going to be injuries again. And that utility role is really what saved the 49ers skins in 2019. That was a huge underrated aspect of their Super Bowl run. I firmly stand by my statement that you need to have 7 quality offensive linemen to make a really deep run, especially with a 17-game schedule. And I think the 49ers have at least 6 right now. And, you know, if a Jalen Moore or Colton McKivitz really steps up this season, they'll have their 7. And that's really good news for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Is Banks starting right guard? Is that pretty much set?
If he's not, I think the 49ers wasted that draft pick. So he's the heavy favorite to be the starter at right guard. If he's not, then boy, you have to question that second round pick on a guard.
Heavy favorite being the operative word there. He's a lot bigger than the guards and offensive linemen that this team has had. He was 330 at the Senior Bowl. I've been watching him the last 2 practices that we have. He's not 330 anymore. Mm-hmm. And I'm really curious what he is now. I would say he's under 320. So he's obviously slimming down so that he can handle that outside zone blocking. You know, you have to be on the hoof so much in this offense. And I think he's adjusting accordingly. Yeah, I agree with David. It would be a real upset if he's not the starting right guard really in week one or certainly by the bye.
Going to go to the Notre Dame right side of the line.
We know one guy who's happy about that.
I know a few, but we know very specifically one person. Okay, let's just play a little game here. Other than the quarterbacks, we don't even know that situation. And maybe let's just take Kittle off the board here. Who would you say is the most important 49er to be good this season that would really set them on a path towards like a big playoff run? Who's the most important player who needs to like be at a high, high level this season?
I say it's Nick Bosa.
Yeah,
I mean,
I agree.
They put so much emphasis on their pass rush, especially the edge rush. And, you know, they brought in Samson Ebukam in free agency. That was a nice move. But that was it, really. Mm-hmm. At this very, very important position, defensive
end. They've invested a lot, except for last year. They keep
investing. Exactly. Invested so much in it, and two of their two best players were absent for most of the OTAs, didn't play but one game last year, Bosa and Dee Ford. So there's a lot of murkiness, question marks about this so important position. And they are encouraged by Bosa's progress, and they do think that he's going to be 100%. But, man, I mean, the history of ACLs in this team should be such that you don't take that leap of faith. I mean, you know, this was not a run-of-the-mill ACL. It wasn't just the single tendon or ligament that, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo had, that Quan Alexander had, which, you know, those guys recovered beautifully from their ACLs. This was ACL plus, so something else damaged in there, which means that it's a longer comeback, and there's more chance for it not coming back at all. Now, nobody thinks that's happening. He's been ahead of schedule every step of the way, but again, it's not quite a lock solid that he's going to be back to his 2019 form.
Yeah, I think they're putting some faith in their belief that Nick Bosa has that special gene, right? You know, the very top players somehow, some way, always seem to come back more effectively from some of these really serious injuries. Is that a big gamble? Yes, I would say it is, but I do think that they have that level of belief in Nick Bosa, and so far the recovery timeline has really confirmed that. You know what else is interesting to me? I was going to say Nick Bosa as well, is that they actually have invested in the interior defensive line this offseason. They might have felt a little thin last year without DeForest Buckner. Javon Kinlaw obviously had some issues, but you know, some sneaky solid pickups I thought were Zach Kerr, who was really good at nose tackle for the Panthers last year, and Maurice Hurst, who was a plus player, I thought. I watched him a lot with the Raiders, and they have him there now along with Kevin Givens and Kinlaw. So that interior defensive line, plus obviously the surprise re-signing of DJ Jones, who they didn't think they'd have enough money for. That might be the portion of the line that they rely on early in the season with so many question marks at the edges, which is really the opposite of 2019, right? Or the start of 2020 when they had both Bosa and Dee Ford. But now, you know, Dee Ford's a question mark. Arden Key, who they picked up from the Raiders, he's a question mark. I mean, he wasn't good with the Raiders. You just hope they could get something out of him with Chris Kocurek. You know, Sansom Ebukam, yeah, he was good in a situational role with the Rams, but this is going to be a big step up for him. And then we have Nick Bosa trying to come back from that ACL. So, you know, they're going to hope to go like 2 for 5 out of all those question marks. And I think that'd be enough if they go 2 for 5. But if they go 1 for 5 or 0 for 5, they're probably in trouble. And that's why that interior, you know, that they've loaded up on is going to have a lot of pressure on its shoulders.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, Bosa was one of the best players in football 2 years ago. By the way, also on an odd year kind of path here, right? Because the 19 was incredible, 20 injury, and 18, he basically didn't play for Iowa State. So at least Garoppolo and Bosa are in sync on these odd year things, although they probably will not love me saying that. But I was gonna throw out Kinlaw as one, you know, one possibility, and he's not going to be DeForest Buckner, but you know, I think we all saw him make some plays last season and maybe get a little better and better as the season went on. He's still a young player, obviously a massive, massive player and has a lot of talent. I don't think he's ever going to be the pass rusher that, but I'm pretty sure we know he's not going to be the pass rusher that Buckner is, but could be a real important player. I always say Trent Williams just because there was literally no way for them to replace him. They cannot replace him at any level. It's just like they couldn't have replaced Joe Staley with anybody but Trent Williams. But I'm also going to say Brandon Ayuk. You know, I don't think Shanahan likes the idea of a number one receiver. I think he also would mention Debo. He would mention Kittle. He would mention running the ball. And I've said that I think they're going to want to run the ball. And, I think any Shanahan team wants to run the ball. But they kind of need a guy who gets the 20-yard catch, right? I mean, who I don't know what Ayuk's going to outrun cornerbacks, but just be a guy that they fear, who isn't a 5-yard catch or a behind-the-line-of-scrimmage, you know, catch guy. And he has been that too. But someone who, like, gets downfield, someone who, you know, Jimmy has to, stick his foot in the ground and throw a laser to downfield. Emmanuel Sanders was kind of that, you know, mostly was that, sometimes wasn't that. I think they've been missing that, and you spend a first-round pick on Ayuk. We've seen the talent there. We've seen him get downfield at times. I think that would be a guy, and especially I think if you're looking towards the Trey Lance era, whenever that begins, I think a big reason why they made that move was to get somebody to throw it outside the numbers, and as Barrows mentioned, that Jimmy is an inside-the-numbers passer, at least certainly has been, and get it downfield. Get it, you know, make cornerbacks have to turn their hips and run like hell to chase somebody. And Ayuk's not a burner, but I think the 49ers are going to want to see him make some of those plays to get them. You know, is he going to be a Justin Jefferson? Is he going to be one of those guys? I don't know, but I think maybe a little more of that or a lot more of that this season would go a long way to say, okay, that's going to be Trey Lance's guy in the future. They don't have to spend any more capital to get a number one receiver. I think Ayuk has the talent for that. So I would say Ayuk, just other than Bosa, because we know how important, how great Bosa can be.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, I think that marriage that they're envisioning between Ayuk and Trey Lance is going to be a really good one. And you're right. I mean, Ayuk had a terrific season last year. He got muted by the fact that the 49ers were just so bad. But imagine if he had played in that game against Green Bay, the big Richie James game. Richie James, I forget what the total was, like 180 yards.
Or it was massive.
Yeah. But Ayuk, all apologies to Richie James, is the more talented, the more explosive player. If he had had those same opportunities, he would have gone ballistic, and he would have gotten a lot of attention. And like I said, he had a very, very good, strong rookie season on a bad team in which, Jimmy Garoppolo played six games, basically, and they had all sorts of issues. So some stability at that position is going to, turn him, I don't want to say into a superstar, but he has the potential to be, you're absolutely right, he has the potential to be one of the most special players on this team.
We saw it with the hurdle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the guy can run with a ball, no question. I mean, he can run with a ball. And can they get it to him downfield and have him running with the ball 30 yards downfield, 40 yards downfield, I think would be a very, very large thing. And, I just don't, they're going to have to spend their, they don't have their first round picks the next two seasons. So they're not going to get someone like that, that way. And they can't invest in it. They're going to have other positions they're going to invest in. I think they're going to need to draft a cornerback at some point, which does lead me, David, you wrote a piece about what, Are there any more signings out there? Are they done? And I think generally what I was reading, they probably are done for now. But is Richard Sherman at all a possibility? You always need cornerbacks. You always need a veteran cornerback. Is this roster still set up to be able to maybe take a Richard Sherman? Is the salary cap set up for them to be able to take a Richard Sherman right on the eve of training camp?
Yeah. So there are, two parts of this argument. One is, does he schematically fit? I actually think he schematically fits a lot better than a lot of people do. A lot of people say that there's no way he could play press man. I actually think that technique-wise, Richard Sherman could still contribute, and also he'd be great for the three defensive backs that they drafted this year, because we saw how well he worked in the locker room over the past three seasons. But it really is an issue financially. The 49ers, I think, we're only going to make, and I'm not saying that Sherman would be as expensive as Julio Jones, but the only really big addition that the 49ers, I could see them in some world making, would have been Julio Jones, because it's Julio, because we know that Kyle had previously said he would do anything to get Julio. Obviously, that wasn't the case anymore. But, for these other guys like Zach Ertz or, Jamison Crowder, players that would be more expensive than a veteran salary exception, it's just too tight right now, I think, for the 49ers. Now, if you do get to training camp and Richard Sherman is still out there and somebody goes down in the 49ers secondary, do you make the move? I think, maybe then there's a more defined kind of acceptable way to make that move, and you still probably have to restructure somebody, because I think the issue right now is that Richard Sherman finds himself in between a rock and a hard place, and so do the 49ers in terms of a potential re-signing here. Sherman is still a superstar in stature, but he's obviously not going to get superstar money, right? He's at the tail end of his career, but he's still going to be wanting more money, and I think still worth more than one of these veteran salary exception guys at the minimum end of the deal. And it's the players in the middle that are stuck in between those two price points that get squeezed the most, especially if they're older, in a cap crunch kind of year, right? And you see the example with Sherman potentially going to the 49ers. They just don't have the money. All the calculations on a 53-man cap right now, 49ers only have like $4 million. And you want at least five to enter the season, and they haven't even extended Fred Warner. So it just doesn't make sense right now. It might make sense if something happens in training camp and they do have to start, shuffling around the deck chairs. But it just is a financial reality of where Richard Sherman and where the 49ers are in this cap crunch year.
Parrish, you think they need another cornerback?
Well, I mean, let's just run a hypothetical. What if one of these big injuries that we just saw happened to either Emmanuel Mosley or Jason Verrett, which is not out of the realm of possibility? I mean, I think that they'd be almost compelled. It's not Richard Sherman. It's got to be some other veteran cornerback at that point. I think the long-term plan, obviously, is that these young guys, D'Amador Lenore and Ambry Thomas and Talanoa Hufanga, take over and become big pieces of the defense. But not this year. I mean, this is the transition year. So if something happened in the spring like I said, I feel like they'd almost be compelled. Something happened early in training camp, the same thing. As you start to get into the season and something happens, well, maybe, you know, the Ambry Thomas has kind of proven himself. I throw Tim Harris into that mix of young guys, too. They're hoping that one of those young guys kind of steps forward and reassures them. It's too early for that to have happened right now. But, you know, into September, maybe they'll be more kind of assuaged that they've got some good young talent there.
All right. Well, I think we can wrap this. Any guys, anything else you want to add to this rare first time ever combo podcast?
We got to do it again. This was great. I had fun.
This is like Run DMC and Aerosmith getting together on stage.
Yeah, with pricker bushes. What was that again?
You guys Bristol? Have never heard of pricker bushes?
I've never heard that phrase in my life.
You know what thorn bushes?
Yes.
It's the same thing.
It's a same thing with a bizarro name that Barros, I think, just made up.
Look it up. Hey, Google shit. Pricker bush. You'll see lots of images.
You're trying to sneak in bad words on this podcast without us knowing. Right. David and I are united in saying that's a made-up word.
I don't think I'm going to hear it ever again.
No, I'm sure.
It was only on this show.
unless the Barrows decides to bring it out again. All right, I'll wrap it up for this for things on TK show, guys. You wrap it up on the other show?
Yeah, here's the catch is signing off as well.
All right, thanks. See you guys.